Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Two people have been arrested after breaking into an AutoZone. Officials say the investigation is still ongoing. Read more about the break-in at YumaDailyNews.com. COFA High School Marine Corps Junior Reserve will be going to the 2022 JROTC Leadership and Academic Bowl. Cadets will learn the values of citizenship, academic roles, and will have college opportunities. Read more about the trip on our website. Three people have been killed in a head-on crash. Officials from Homeland Security say the SUV might have been involved in human trafficking. Read more about it at YumaDailyNews.com. The Arizona State Supreme Court has ruled on a ballot measure to repeal the flat tax on November's ballot. Voters in Arizona have not decided yet to keep or take away the $2 billion tax cut. Learn more about the tax cut on our website. Two pilots in Arizona have been hoping to make history with a stunt some will have to see to believe. The pilots say the goal is to inspire the world and show anything is possible. Read where to watch it, YumaDailyNews.com. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
The border crisis in Arizona is real. Cartels and criminal gangs infiltrate our neighborhoods. Fentanyl kills our children. Our tax dollars spent on shelter and health care. Yet Joe Biden wants to end Title 42, bringing a new and bigger surge across the border. Andy Gould supports Title 42 because it works. Andy Gould also has a plan that works, a no trespassing zone. Posting no trespassing signs will empower law enforcement to arrest cartel members and illegals they are transporting when they trespass on state land and private land, and seize guns and drugs from cartel members to prosecute them. Andy Gould's years as a prosecutor and Arizona Supreme Court Justice have given him the right experience to know what works and what doesn't. Title 42 works. So will the Gould No Trespassing Zone. Paid for by Andy Gould for Attorney General. Authorized by Andy Gould for Attorney General.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
All right, good morning. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Cody Beeson. Today we have attorney Sean Garner joining us, and Russ Clark and Howard Blitz are in the studio with us. We want to talk about freedom today, and what better person to really jump on the topic of freedom than Howard Blitz. Do you have any events coming up?
We have a lot of events coming up. The Freedom Library has a lot of events coming up this week and next week and the following week. So the next 3 weeks, we've got events coming up. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, over at Roundtable Pizza, we've got a takeover fundraiser going on. So you can dine in, you can take it to go, or you can eat in, or have it delivered to you if you want. But Roundtable Pizza is going to donate a portion of all sales between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. tomorrow night over at Roundtable Pizza, corner of 16th Street and Avenue B. So be sure to be there between 4 and 8 and mention the Freedom Library, and the Freedom Library will receive a portion of all sales during the hours of 4 and 8 p.m. Then the following week, May the 5th, the Freedom Library is holding its 26th annual awards forum. They'll be awarding its scholarships. We'll have a lot of book sales available. We got a 50-50 raffle, I believe, going on. The admission for that event is, we're asking people to bring non-perishable food items for Crossroads Mission and Yuma Community Food Bank. You don't have to, but if you'd like to donate some non-perishable food items for Crossroads Mission and the Yuma Community Food Bank, please bring them. We're going to our guests that evening are going to be Kieran Hill and Joshua Stanwitz, who are two former Marines that will be speaking on realism and restraint in foreign policy. Should be a good event, and so be sure to attend. It's going to be May 5th over at the Yuma Sun. You enter the building through the Freedom Library between 7 and 9 p.m. The doors will be open at 6 p.m. So 7 to 9 p.m., May 5th, at the Yuma Sun, entering through the Freedom Library. Come and hear quite a couple of great speakers on realism and restraint in foreign policy. Then finally, the following week, May 11th at 5:30 p.m., this is going to be a virtual session. It's a civility session with the Freedom Library. A couple of journalists, Nolan Finley and Stephen Henderson, are going to explore how building civility is the best way to uphold the principles of liberty. So be sure to register at the link that's going to be posted on Facebook and in mass emails out. That's going to be 5:30 p.m. May 11th. So it's all on virtual, so you don't have to go anywhere. You can sit in your home and relax and enjoy the session. So that's May 11th. So that's what we got going on for the next 3 weeks at the Freedom Library.
Well, thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Sean.
Got a lot going on. Got your plate full for a retiree. You seem to be pretty busy.
Yeah, well, we call it refocusing.
Yes. Very good. Well, today I want to talk about a little bit of religion, a little bit of the Founding Fathers, and what the founding documents for our government are all about, and how they intertwine. And these topics, you know, they're the tantamount taboo subjects to talk about at the dinner table, politics and religion. But they intermingle quite a bit, and even more so in the days that we live in, because you can't talk about one without the other. The issue of morality is actually intertwined quite a bit into politics today, especially with these new bills that are coming out. In Florida, we've got the bills, that the parents' rights bill, that basically makes it illegal for teachers who are kindergarten teachers who through third grade to talk about sexual identification and sexuality in general. And it's been labeled the Don't Say Gay bill. And so let's talk a little bit about just these general concepts of morality and what we were expecting to go through during these last days, as foreseen by prophets through religious institutions, or I guess religious sects, and sects, that's S-E-C-T-S. I've got a little frog in my throat, so I want to be clear what we're talking about here. and explain how they coexist with what America is and what it was anticipated to be, and how it's really an example and a beacon to the world of what we should be expected to do and be expected of ourselves as individuals, rather than being guided by politicians or tyrants that tell us exactly how and what we should be doing.
Yeah. So, Sean, this really falls and dovetails exactly into this live and let live movement that's currently going on. It was started by Mark Victor up in Phoenix, and it's gone worldwide. They're organized associations. It would be good. Associations throughout the world, and it's gaining a lot of strength. This live and let live philosophy, and people can go to liveandletlive.org. That's liveandletlive.org to find this out. But that whole movement is all about, okay, what's legal, and then what's moral? Okay, what's the right thing to do? Yeah, you might be able to do it legally, okay, but is that really the right thing to do? And that's what this is all about. And And, you know, when government, when you start incorporating government into situations, any situation, there's only one means government has, and that is through the use of force. And this whole live and let live philosophy is nobody is legally allowed to initiate force on anybody. No government, no company, no individual, no organization, no nonprofit, no nothing. No one is allowed to initiate force. And so even when governments initiate force, and that's the only means they have to do anything, then we're kind of getting away from the moral aspect of things. Because the moral aspect of things is like, you know, if you want to help somebody, that's your prerogative. You can help somebody. But you shouldn't force somebody. You know, charity can't come through force. It can only come through from the heart, you know. And so the whole idea of asking government to do anything, we need to really watch what we're doing when we're asking government to do something. So,
yeah, so now we've got this YouTube video that I want to play, or a little clip from it. We're coming up on a break, so we'll have to do that when we come back. Okay. But it's a clip from Dr. Fauci. Now, of course, that's a ubiquitous name. Everybody knows Dr. Fauci. And he explains that this federal ruling that struck down the mask mandate was not the correct thing to do, was not appropriate, and he explains why the CDC ought to be making those decisions rather than our federal judicial system. And so we're going to come back and learn a little bit more about his opinion and how he thinks the government ought to be run, and then we'll explain what our opinion is about that.
Very good.
This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
The heat is back, and the temperatures will continue to run warm all week long. 94 the high this afternoon, 98 tomorrow, 96 Wednesday.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all of the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you cool and comfortable quickly. Just call 928-783-4242 or visit onehouryuma.com.
Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime. Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime.
Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
Did you know that Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma are veteran-owned dealerships?
Sir, yes, sir!
Yes, you heard right. Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma are veteran-owned by a U.S. Marine Corps sergeant who proudly served our country. If you're looking for a car, only think of Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma. And please allow them the opportunity to earn your business. Visit them today and check out their great inventory of cars. Bad credit, no problem. They accept all applications. Do you want huge dollars for your trade-in?
Yes, sir!
Your car has has never been worth more than today, and at Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma, they will give you big cash. Visit Hyundai of Yuma and Kia of Yuma today, or shop online. HyundaiofYuma.com and KiaofYuma.com.
Kia of Yuma, a proud veteran-owned dealership.
Hoorah!
Hyundai of Yuma, a proud veteran-owned dealership.
Hoorah!
Think you may have a gambling problem? Help is just an online 10-question quiz away. Take it today at problemgambling.az.gov, because knowing if you might have a problem is the first step toward solving it.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm back in studio here with my friends Russ Clark, Howard Blitz, and Cody Beeson. We're all going to be chiming in on this topic today, but first, we're going to allow an esteemed guest chime in through YouTube, and that is Dr. Fauci.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead and play the clip.
If you were taking a flight tonight and you sat down in your seat, would you wear the mask the entire time? Would you take it off if you're having a snack? Would you not wear it at all? What would Dr. Fauci do?
Well, again, I'll answer the question, Bob, but in some respects, it's an unfair question because we are all individuals and we all have a certain level of risk that differs from person to person on the basis of age, on the basis of potential and real underlying conditions, on the basis of who might be in your home who is vulnerable, so that if you get infected and you bring it back. So when you say, what would one person do? Well, that really applies to that one person and doesn't necessarily can be extrapolated to everybody else.
That's fair, Dr. Fauci, but what about people who feel...
Okay, so Dr. Fauci is saying that we're all different. We all have different levels of risk. We all can tolerate different levels of exposure. We're all willing to assume different levels of exposure. And so it's an unfair question for this reporter, this is a CBS News reporter, to ask Dr. Fauci himself, the all-knowing Dr. Fauci, what he would do on an airplane. But he has no reserve whatsoever in telling us, all of us, what to do, regardless of our immune situation, regardless of whether we've had COVID, regardless of whether we've had the boosters and shown that not only do we have natural immunity, but we've assumed the additional immunity that is proposed to be out there with these vaccinations. If we can rewind back to the beginning of that clip, Russ, I want to play a part where Dr. Fauci introduces his concept of how the government should be run compared to how it actually is run. Are you ready for that?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead and play it.
If you were taking a flight tonight,
nope,
and you sat down in your seat, would you wear the mask the entire...
You want to go, what, further forward?
All the way back to the very beginning of the clip.
What would Dr. Fauci...
Oh, okay, all right.
So, and what he's going to tell us here is that this judge...
He is the chief medical advisor to President
Biden. Okay, here we go. We'll just listen in. He'll tell us.
Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Fauci, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Dr. Fauci, U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mazel tossed out the mask mandate. As you know, do you personally agree or disagree with her interpretation of public health law?
Well, I clearly disagree. I mean, those types of things should be decided as a public health issue by the public health organizations, in this case, the CDC. This is a public health matter. This is not a judicial matter.
Okay, so Russ just paused it right there for us. So what he's saying is the public health laws, which essentially are the laws that govern where we go, when we go there, and what we have to put on our face and what injections we have to inject into our bodies when we go from place to place, are governed or should be governed by the CDC. Now,
I'm confused.
I don't understand where he's drawing the line of distinction between public health law and law in general. Can somebody help me understand that?
Well, first of all, Dr. Fauci needs to read and understand the United States Constitution, okay? And this is very important. I'm not trying to be facetious here. This is serious stuff. Because the point of the Constitution of the United States is to restrain the power of the United States government and assign it very specific duties. Now, first of all law is going to be done by the legislative branch. So the executive branch, the judicial branch, they don't have any business making law. Only the legislature. And then when you go to Article 1, Section 8, it lists out all the kinds of laws that the legislature, that the legislative branch can make. And there's nothing in here about public health. What do you call it? Public health?
Public health law.
Public health law.
Yeah, which dictates essentially
so the
problem ability to move about the country and our ability to live our lives as we see fit.
The problem with Dr. Fauci's statement is that he doesn't understand the United States Constitution. He doesn't understand what the function of the United States government is.
What he does understand is power. What he does understand is that he likes being put at the focal point of that power and prestige, and being able to direct masses of people that were, you know, previously known as the most free people in the world, and take their freedom and put it under his thumb and say, you will do this and you will not do this. And when he does that, that is an immense amount of power to tell us where and when we can move about the country, when we can come out of our home, when we can go into a grocery store, whether or not I can open up my business and allow other patrons with their own free agency to come in and to buy the goods and services I have to offer. So let's play that tape just a little bit more until minute 125.
Before you do, just one quick statement, Sean. That's fine that he likes power. And that he enjoys it.
Okay? Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? That's not really the point. The point is understanding the Constitution, understanding the function of the government. And that puts all of the weight on all of us, we the people, because we need to elect individuals who will honor the Constitution and therefore not be able to put individuals who love power into power. Because if representatives and senators understand the Constitution, if we elect those kind of people, then they will know that they will never be able to create something called the CDC or whatever, okay? I mean, it's okay to like power. That's not the point. The point is understanding this Constitution and what the function of the government's supposed to be.
And we keep going back to the Constitution, and for those of you who feel, okay, maybe the Constitution may be outdated. Maybe it's a document that you rely on and you haven't actually proven its merits. Well, let's look at its merits. We live in a country that is the most prosperous country of all times, that has provided freedoms that are unknown and unseen in history. And the people exercising those freedoms have come up with innovations and being able to assist one another and assist the people around the world in greater measures than ever before. Freedom not only works, but it's also instituted of God. And we'll see that as we get into some biblical text that I'm going to read a little bit later on in the show. Where are we on that clip?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, let's go ahead and continue playing that until minute 125.
This is a public health matter. This is not a judicial matter. The CDC has the obligation to protect the American public, and they make their recommendations based on science and solid public health information. So obviously the CDC will abide by the order of the court because it's a legal obligation. But one of the problems that we have there is that the principle of a court overruling a public health judgment by qualified organization like the CDC is disturbing in the precedent that it might send.
Has previously looked to the public.
So that last sentence that he said, that this the judge, by issuing the using the authority that a district court judge has to override the CDC, he says, is dangerous precedent. It's the complete opposite. It's finally getting us back to the precedent upon which the founding fathers and which true government is established or should be established. Mm-hmm. The government was established by the people and for the people. And it's only to secure the rights of the people. And whenever the people's rights are superseded by those who think they have more knowledge or think that they are smarter and more capable than us, that is not freedom whatsoever. That's despotism.
Yeah. You know, I find it amazing. The very initial portion of this clip that he talked about that individuals should have basically the choice. And now all of a sudden he says, oh, no, it's up to the CDC.
And what I did is I took his words from the back of the clip and I put them first because so he doesn't want to be told individually what to do.
The hypocrisy is incredible. It really is amazing.
It's his own words.
Yeah, I know.
I just took them from the back and I said, okay, when the reporter did actually what a reporter should do and ask, what would you do? Yeah. And he says, well, it depends. I'm an individual. But at the beginning, he says, all of us should do exactly what the CDC says.
It's just amazing.
We're coming up on a break here. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Have a favorite photo of you and your mom? Then enter it in the 560 KBLU and 24 Karat Jewelers I Love My Mom the Most photo contest. Simply go to 560 KBLU's Facebook page and post your favorite mom photo. It's that simple. Winner of the $250 24 Karat Jewelers gift certificate will be selected at random from all entries made across El Dorado Broadcaster's three Yuma radio stations' Facebook pages. It's the I Love My Mom the Most photo contest, brought to you by 24 Karat Jewelers and 560 KBLU.
Biden, Harris, and the radical left are causing chaos on our border by repealing Title 42. I'm Karen Taylor Robeson, conservative outsider for governor. Title 42 allowed us to deport 1.7 million illegals. Repealing Title 42 will cause illegal crossings to triple to tens of thousands every single day, overwhelming Border Patrol. This is a gift to human traffickers and drug cartels that flood our communities with crime and fentanyl. Unbelievably, Democrat Katie Hobbs says she agrees with Biden. Hobbs attacked Title 42. Here's Katie Hobbs in her own words.
Title 42 isn't working.
She is dead wrong. As governor, I'll do the job Biden and Katie Hobbs won't. I have a tough six-point plan to secure our border and finish the wall. Because it's up to us to stop the Biden border disaster.
Read Karen's detailed plan to secure the border at KarenForArizona.com. Karen Taylor Robeson for governor. Paid for by Karen for Arizona, authorized by Karen Taylor Robeson.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. And I'm talking about subjects that have a lot to do with the law, although they may seem a little bit taboo in speaking in general to the public, because we're going to talk about religion, and we're going to be talking about God and why we exist and why he created us. And the reason that seems to be taboo is because, you know, everybody has their own beliefs, and those beliefs differ from time to time, and I don't think religious disagreements have ever created any wars or conflicts, but, you know, this really? Could, right? It could
happen.
Create some disagreement out there. But what I want to do is I want to raise the issue, and what's beautiful about our Constitution is there's this thing called the First Amendment that it's hanging by a thread, but it still exists, and it allows me to say whatever I want, and to believe whatever I want, and to organize with others with like beliefs or even dislike beliefs, and for us to discuss our beliefs and to act upon those beliefs unimpeded by the government.
Right.
That is the First Amendment. So the question is this. If God exists, why would God create us? Why would we exist? Why would God create this earth for us to live on? Would it be to only make sure the earth is maintained in its pristine state? Or would it be to serve as some sort of platform, a playground, if you will, for us to exercise agency, that is, freedom of choice, to determine whether or not we will do things that God has disclosed through prophets or his mouthpiece here on earth that will make us happy and create joy in our life? Or has he created us just to see as this grand experiment what is going to happen? And he has this concept that truth is relative, that it is not objective, it is relative, and that whatever we believe is fine, and we can go on our merry way believing and doing and acting however we wish without any opinion on the subject. Because that seems to be the common thread of the mass media discourse today, that truth is relative, that even biology is relative.
Oh, gosh.
And so that's my question today. Why do we exist here? Howard, do you have an answer to that?
No, I don't have an answer to
that. Oh, come on, Howard.
But it's related. My answer to that is related to what you're asking. First of all, this kind of discussion that we're having today should be discussed at every dinner table as often as possible.
And in many more public forums.
And many more public forums as well. But I think we all have to understand, we pre-existed government. God created us, okay, with certain inalienable rights. These rights came way before, they already existed before government ever was instituted, okay? The government didn't even exist initially. Mankind existed. God created mankind, and mankind existed through our Creator, okay? Then government came. Government was created for the sole purpose, as defined in the Declaration of Independence, to protect our God-given rights. That's the point. And the one thing in these three pages, and man, you're giving us a lot of stuff, food for thought. But one thing that caught my eye was, God won't force us to do good, and the devil can't force us to do evil. In the end, we will therefore reap what our lifelong choices have sown. That's the point. God gave us, each and every single one of us on this planet, the sole discretion to choose. We choose to do good or we choose to do bad. Every choice we make is on us.
It ought to be.
That's it is.
The way it should be.
And that's what freedom means.
But it
means.
Cannot be if we are not free.
And that's
why freedom is so important.
Yeah, and that's why freedom is hard. It's the most difficult thing to be on you. Every decision that we make is on us individually. We can't pawn it off on somebody else, and that's what we try to do when we try to incorporate government into these things.
Well said. And to show that our founding fathers understood this, in the very beginning lines of the Declaration of the Independence, this document that they must have foreseen would become immortal and spread throughout the earth, they say, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life,
liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness." Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that at the time period, the social forces that were about them did not absolutely endorse these beliefs and abide by these beliefs. But that doesn't mean that the beliefs still aren't true and aren't correct concepts. This was something that they were aspiring to live by. Now, we can read the Bible and we can preach by it and we can say, this is true. And I'm not a hypocrite just because sometimes I don't always tell 100% of the truth, or sometimes I don't always keep all the commandments. I can believe something, and just because I'm an individual and a fallible human being and don't maintain those beliefs 100% of the time, or my actions don't demonstrate those beliefs 100% of the time, doesn't make me a hypocrite. It makes me human, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as I am trying and I acknowledge that I have failures, but I am trying to do what I believe, then I am a creature that is trying to improve, and I fit with good company that's all around me that is very popular, and that is because none of us can follow through with what we believe all the time.
No, that's because you just said it. We're fallible.
Right.
Okay, but there's one sentence. The next sentence, right after what you read, here's the key to the function of the government. That to secure these rights, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that you read, governments are instituted among men. This is showing that government came after the rights.
And it's for the purpose of securing the rights.
That's its only existence. That's the only reason government exists, is to make sure that we get to exercise our right to our life, our freedom, and our pursuit. And that key word is pursuit. I think people forget you don't have a right to happiness.
You're not guaranteed success in life. You're guaranteed the pursuit of success, or you ought to be. And the government derives its powers from the consent of the governed. The consent of the governed. That means we get to decide. Just like Dr. Fauci wanted to decide on the airplane whether or not he would wear a mask individually.
Right.
But he wants to force everybody else to wear a mask.
Can't do.
Is hypocrisy. That is what I'm pointing out as hypocrisy. When you want someone to act differently than you act based on what you think or what you are preaching to be the same core doctrine, that's hypocritical. So, and also, it also states in that same declaration that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, that is, the ends of supporting our rights, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Yeah. And safety and happiness, not being safe from viruses, but safety from the government overreaching its arm of authority.
But see, a lot of people will say, but what if I make a bad decision? You know, somebody's got to help me here. So, the risk we all have is making bad decisions in life.
Yes, and that's a risk.
That's the whole point of being free.
It's not only a risk, it's a privilege.
Yeah, it is.
It's a privilege to make bad decisions, because how do you learn?
That's exactly correct.
Through experience. And my greatest and most long-lasting lessons that I've learned are from the mistakes that I've made. That's why it's called the practice of law, or the practice of medicine, or the practice of anything, because we're striving to become better at it.
Yeah.
Now, back to this Florida law, right? The parental rights law.
Don't say gay.
Yeah, that what they've said, that, you know, the left wing media has labeled as "don't say gay," which is a horrible label because it doesn't even say anything about
it's
that.
Not even true.
All it says is, we don't want teachers to be grooming our children to become sexually brainwashed that there is no sexual correct orientation and that they should question their own gender identity. That is what we do not want. So, but it was foreseen. This was foreseen 2,000 years ago when Paul described that in the last days we would go through perilous times. And this is what he wrote. He wrote this into his epistle to Timothy in an epistle. It says, this is Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. The school district does not want parents to know what they're teaching in the classes. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. We've seen some false accusations out there. Incontinent, meaning they're inconsistent, hypocritical. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Have you seen that? Have we seen any evidence out there that people get upset when we get like governors like Governor DeSantis standing up for what is right? Does anybody dislike him for that? Have we seen any evidence of that? They are traitors. They are heady, meaning they are very confident in their own judgment, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away in diverse lusts, ever learning, institutions, universities, constant PhDs, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
See, this...
We got to come on a break, okay. But we'll take ahead. A comment make when we come back. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Plan Z is different than any other diet. Here's how. With Plan Z, you get a homeopathic spray called ZR50 that's designed to relieve the discomforts of dieting. When you go cold turkey off of sugar, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives, your body rebels. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. Most people get a headache when they start a diet. Others start to get the jitters. Some get achy or nauseous. Everybody gets crabby, and the cravings can be overwhelming. ZR50 is designed to keep you on an even keel so you can diet comfortably. Because the ZR50 is homeopathic, it's all natural, it's not a drug, and there are no hormones. Now, let's talk food. Plan Z is a real food diet. That means you won't be eating anything from a box. You're not going to drink magic shakes, none of that. And I promise this to be the best tasting diet ever. Now, I bet you're wondering, when is she going to get to that part where she tells me I have to get on a treadmill for an hour a day or this won't work? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. Just chill, no exercise. And there's more. So go to PlanZDiet.com and read up. Then sign up, PlanZDiet.com.
America's border is in crisis. Last year, 2 million illegal immigrants entered our country, more than the population of Phoenix. And now, the Biden administration is busing illegal immigrants with criminal convictions across America. Who can we trust to secure the border when the politicians keep selling us out? Brandon Judd of the National Border Patrol Council and Justin Harris of the Arizona Police Officers Association trust Jim Lehman for U.S. Senate.
I am so proud, and on behalf of the National Border Patrol Council, to endorse Jim Lehman.
The Arizona Police Officers Association is proud to announce our endorsement of Jim Lehman for the United States Senate.
I'm Jim Lehman. Join me. Together, we'll stop the human smugglers, drugs, gangs, and politicians, bring power back to the people of America, and secure our border. I'm Jim Lehman, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Jim Lehman for Senate.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. Howard, I cut you off just at the beginning of your comment, and you probably, you explained off air very well, but go ahead and reiterate what you were about to say about education and the government's role in the education.
Yeah, what you were talking about here, and Governor DeSantis's comments really effectively show why government, any government, whether it's a federal government, a state government, a county government, city government, any kind of government, should not be involved with education and educational choices.
Without the consent of the governed is my only caveat there.
Well, that's fine. But, if you put it, education is, if it's not the largest business in this country, it's got to be pretty darn close to it because it's pretty big business. And, we don't have an issue. We don't have government issues going into a grocery store, buying meat, buying what vegetables, buying whatever we're buying. And that's because we have very little government intervention in that area. Now, we're getting more and more. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of government intervention in food supplies today. But my point is, but that just goes to reiterate and support my point, that government shouldn't be involved at all in education. It should be up to the individual families to decide what kind of an education their child should get. And yes, you're right. Some people wouldn't care about an education.
So you're
absolutely right. Cody had mentioned this off air.
Yeah,
as well.
And to that point, I would say that the general principle is that the smallest governing body possible to institute the type of programs that we need should be the governing body that we rely upon. So therefore, if our communities can provide an educational network that will assist us and assist our children, because certainly I'm not a very good educator of my children. I like to go to work and I like to focus on doing estate plans. And I want my children to read Dick and Jane and read and do math and learn basic science. And so I want to be part of a community that affiliates with my types of beliefs and teaches my children how to read, to write, to understand the world around them, and then give them the tools that they need to go out and be productive citizens. And so I think the community is the best organization, and you can say that it's a government organization, it's by the consent of the governed. And so if I don't like the education that's being presented in that community, I can fairly easily move to another community. I shouldn't have to go to another state because I don't like the education that's provided in the state. And it's really become it has become a state level institution, but even more so, they're trying to make it a national level institution, that is by far exceeding the authority.
And scary. And I would go one step further. The individual family is really your lowest level of government.
Yes.
And you would have the
the best.
Absolutely. It is, as a matter of fact, I would argue it is the best. It is the best because you know best what's best for your family, okay? I don't know your family.
Just like Dr. Fauci knows what's best for him when he gets on an airplane, whether or not to wear a mask.
But my point, Sean, is that you would have total control. If it was no government involvement in education, in other words, the Cody Beeson Elementary School, okay, he would go into business and set up an education program. And you would decide whether or not you want to go to his school. Mm-hmm. If you don't like his school, then you go to some. The point is, you'd have all these different businesses, and oh God, forbid we shouldn't. Education is a business. It's a very important business.
And
it's,
churches have been very effective
at
following this pattern. And I would say some of the best education out there is private education. And that private education is almost always sponsored by religious institutions.
But my point is that individuals that have the freedom of choice by buying their educational services for their children wherever they want to. That's the key. Yeah. To give the freedom to allow the individual families to choose themselves, not being dictated, not being by a majority vote of a state legislature or of a city council or a county board of supervisors or of a Congress for that matter. Okay? The government entity that's going to be doing all this is called the family. That's the lowest level of government we have. And that's the one that should be making these decisions.
And it's spun out of control to the point that it's on a state level now. And Governor DeSantis, he's taken a very courageous position in saying no more, right? We're not going to allow the teachers individually to infuse our children about their personal beliefs and to indoctrinate them with this theory that sexuality and whether or not certain things are right or wrong is relative. That's incorrect. And so he's saying at a state level, we're going to make a law that this is not going to happen because we've already gone this far down the road and education is governed by state entities.
Yeah, and as you, that won't relieve the angst, okay, that's going to continue to happen.
Well,
and all the arguments.
We got to peel back the onion one layer at a time.
Well,
and I think that's a start. But
it's not really because he's not advocating getting the state of Florida out of their educational system. That's the start. The start would be we need to have discussions on whether or not the state of Arizona, Georgia, Florida, whatever state you're talking about, whether or not that entity should have control over the educational system in a particular area. That would be the start in my mind.
So the bottom line of where we began the show with is that the reason that we're here on Earth, all of us, is to demonstrate whether or not we will do good or do bad and be given the opportunity to exercise that right of choice, which we can also call agency. And if that is taken away from us, then the purpose of our existence becomes
a fallacy. No, it's a fossil of the state. What's the word that I'm looking for? You're
basically
an entity of the state. I mean,
right?
You know, you're not an individual.
Nobody wants to be a drone, right? Yeah. No, and we envision these zombie apocalypses. Now we envision them with people that have got hands hanging off and their heads crooked and all this. But I would say we're amid a zombie apocalypse in that the government is attempting to make us zombies to its own dictatorship and to its own sense of moral correctness instead of allowing us to decide for ourselves and us to decide for our children that there are objective moral standards that should be learned by all of our children and then allow our children. Because we all know, any of those parents out there that are teenagers know that we can't control our children. But we can teach them correct principles. And then we can allow them to decide for themselves whether or not they will abide by those principles.
But we can't do that if we have government involved in the educational system. Because now it's going to be by majority vote. And whatever the majority vote in the legislature is, or whatever the majority vote of Congress is, or whatever the majority vote is
going to be. And that's where we are right now.
But that's what I'm saying. We need to move away from that kind of an environment where the family decides, not a majority vote of some legislative body is going to decide what kind of an education our children are going to have. Because my definition of what my children ought to have is going to be different from yours, Sean, and different from Cody, different from Russ's, different from everybody. And now there might be overlapping similarities. That's fine too. But the point is, The individual family makes the choice, not a majority vote of some legislative body. That's why we have the angst and the animosity going on.
What this has done, a lot of these recent acts of wokeism that's going into the schools, is a big rush to non-public schools. It's been so much. Legislatures, some of them are writing rules. It's going to change charters and make them as complex as public, you know, which I hope fails.
Well, right. That's why a lot of people are going to homeschooling. And a lot of people
Howard, that the state ought not to be controlling education, that it should become. And honestly, if they want to teach their own children or people want to send their children to institutions that teach these, what I consider fallacies, then that's their choice. Right. But I do not want them imposing that upon me or my children, and I certainly don't want them despising me because I choose to teach traditional family values.
But that's what happens when you have a government majority rule on doing so.
That's all the time that we have for today. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.